Father, there is no God but you, and there is no word that man has ever printed, written, or come up with that can ever change lives like your word can, God. So we ask you, please, to pour your word upon us that we would learn and grow, hear your word, and be changed. God, we've come here to be changed because as we sang, we know that you're alive and we know you came to fix our broken lives. And I do pray, God, for anybody that's here that's life is about to be broken and they're too blind to see it. Help them, God, before their lives get broken. Before they have to have a testimony, may their testimony be that of salvation. We love you, God, and we thank you. Bless us with your word. In Christ's name, amen. Before I read the word, I want to tell you about a sinkhole. Does anybody know what a sinkhole is? Maybe a rabbit hole would be a better phrase for some of you guys.
That's 5 in Spanish, right?
Huh? Anita, would you smack him in the back of the head, please, Anita? Anita, like this. Watch. You say to your wife, I don't like that shirt. She then begins a series of trails in her mind. He doesn't want me. He's seeing somebody else. I've gained too much weight. I've lost too much weight. My life is falling apart. I've got to hire a lawyer. I'll have to get a job, and I'll have to see my kids only once in a while. No, I am going to sue him. Everything he's made is half mine. And that is how the fracturing of the fragility of the human brain takes you down trails. She says to you, I have a headache. I don't want to. And you say to yourself, gentlemen, what's wrong with me? I bet she's cheating. Where's her phone? I wonder if she has an email account that I don't know about. Nah. She'll get nothing. She'd have the kids. She won't do this with her next boyfriend. Oh, and then he'll get all the blessing and I'll get no credit for. Your boss says to you, good job. And you say, I'm gonna be a partner in this business soon. Without me, this place falls apart. I'm gonna ask for a raise. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Why do I use that as a preface for today's study? Because the enemy has a way of attacking. And it goes up and it goes down. But what we're going to look at here is how John the Baptist himself dealt with the same dart of doubt. We're going to look at today the promises of God, the assurances of the Word, and how a true man of God applies these things to his life. If you are reading with me in the 21st verse, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The first thing that we see in verse 21 is this, and this is extremely controversial, if you're into such things as doctrine, is this. It's not believing in Christ that saves you, I'm sorry to say. It's believing Christ that saves you. The demons know that God exists. The devil himself knows that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That does not get him one step closer to the kingdom of God, does it? No, it doesn't. And here's why it doesn't. Because he who does the truth comes to the light. You cannot just go to church and think you're good with God. You cannot think that you stood up at some service and said a prayer and think that you're good with God. You can't. You have to do the truth. You have to do the truth. Now, I'm leaving that completely right there. Yes, we can get into who's new and who's not new and at what point salvation occurs and when you serve God. Yes, we can do all that. But why? Why leave that door open? All it does is show yourself that you have no intention of this relationship with the Lord. None. All it does is give you an out and an excuse. Why do you want an out and an excuse? I say to my wife, I love you. She says to me, I love you. I say to my wife, I do and I will. She says to me, I will and I do. Is that the end of it? There's an old story about that old farmer who tells his wife, honey, I told you I loved you when I married you. If anything changes, you'll be the first to know. It's not how it works. That's not how you build a relationship with a woman, with a God, or with a church. You do the truth. Lord Jesus, I love you. I pledge my life to you. He says, I receive you. I take you. You say, I'm going to prove it to you. Then you say, here's how I'm going to prove it to you. By getting to know who you are, by reading your word, by loving the world as you love the world, by continuing day by day in this relationship with you, as you have done for me. You do the truth and you come to the light. After these things, in the Greek, metatauto, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now we know from later in the same verses that it wasn't him that baptized, but his disciples. Now John was also baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. And there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. Please stop right there. The Jews in the old temple had these big vats of water. And the way people were purified and the way the meat was purified and the way things were purified, they had this argument apparently with the Lord's and with John's disciples. Saying, hey, you know, that's not how you get purified. This is how you get purified. This is how you get purified. Hi, Rocky. Good morning. For an old New Yorker, that's never going to happen. So they had this discussion, and they now use this discussion as a means to do something extremely treacherous that they didn't even realize they were doing, but yet they were doing it. And you will understand, as a human who lives in this world, if you have family members, if you have friends, if you're a part of a job, this is so people. Watch. Again, a dispute arose between some of John's disciples and the Jews. Now, again, let me reiterate, that word for Jews there is not the Hebrews or the Jewish people, but refers to the leaders of the temple about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him.
What happened to the question about purification? Where'd that go? That's gone. And isn't it that way that things work? When somebody wants to tell you about something, but they really want to tell you about something else, they tell you about something else and forget that whole something they were going to tell you to begin with. You know, this is a good opportunity for us to talk about your life. And here's what they do. They drop you in a sinkhole. Not sinko, sinkhole. They chase you down a rabbit. They say to John the Baptist, as the enemy says to you, you know, that thing that you were doing, everybody is now going to him to do it. That thing you were trying to build, you know, if you're looking to build a church, here's how you do it. First of all, your services are too long. And you put people on the spot when you pray for them. And you know, your teachings are like 45 to 55 minutes. You know, like a month ago, you went an hour and 5 minutes. You're not going to build a church like that. Man, if I don't build this church up, people stop coming. If people stop coming, then we can't pay the rent. We can't pay the rent. My name is on the lease. And the landlord has to come after me. What if we have to move back to the hotel? What if we have to move back to my house and nobody shows up? What if God's really happy with a church that is just 50 people, as he's just as happy as a church of 5,000 people? That can't be so, because... Wait a second. I can't. Wait a second. The money. It happens to me too. It happens to all of us. And people who are well intended, they want to drop you in that rabbit hole and just say bye. Don't they? You know, my mother called me the other day and she said to me, I noticed you're getting a little heavy. Like, what is that supposed to mean? And then that was it. Dudes, don't worry about that. My brother, he'd like, you're getting fat. Only it was me saying that to him. Because I wasn't fat when he died, I was still skinny. If he was alive now, he'd say, you're fat. We just say that to each other. Smacking around a little bit. It's winter. That's what's going to happen. My wife says that, though. It's like... Why did they do that to him? And what is the response when somebody tells you that somebody else is getting something you deserve, that you worked for? That you've built. You've built it. You know, that guy that you told us about, you know, the Lamb of God guy, he's over there baptizing and everybody's going to him. Do you see this? You see this? The fear of the enemy is encapsulated, it's injected, it is poisoning your heart and your mind. Let me explain this to you. Fear is not an emotion. Fear is a spirit. And let me be weird when I tell you that it flies around everywhere in your life and in your head, and it zips around, this devil, and there's channels of them and you can't see them, and they're here right now, and they're flying around your head, and they're whispering things in your ears, and they're trying to get in your life, because fear is a snare, the Bible says. Fear is not an emotion. It's a weird, what the Bible calls a familiar spirit. The Bible says this: God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I will tell you this also, according to new sociology reports, fear is hereditary. It is in your DNA. How it does that, I don't know. However, you take somebody from Haiti and you raise them in America. You take somebody from the Middle East and you put them in New York City. You take somebody from a place where snakes are a part of something associated with fear, and they can't even tell you why they're afraid of them, but they're afraid of them. The fear of heights, it's an irrational fear. There's no reason to be afraid of heights. My son-in-law and his brother have zero fear of heights. They stand at the top of the ladder, hanging off 30 to 40 feet, with one hand grabbing a bar and the other hand hammering a hammer. And I look up in amazement and go, this is incredible. And they say, are you afraid of heights? I'm like, no, I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of that sudden stop at the bottom. And I decided about a year and a half ago that this spirit of fear that has enveloped my family for so many years must stop with me. That I will not pass it on. I will not let it take me anymore. Because let me tell you, that spirit of fear, which at first is just funny, it's just ha-ha, it's just no big deal, so I just don't, you know, the thing is, I'm not afraid of like a 6-foot ladder, some 14-foot ladders that freak me out. No, I'm not going to be afraid of any more ladders. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Well, let me tell you something. The enemy came to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and if he can get that fear in you, because it is a spirit, eventually this crazy thing happens. I think I told you this story. It was about 5 or 6 years ago. I had hurt my neck in one of my jiu-jitsu matches, and it was constant nagging. I was like, man, I got to get this thing looked at. So I went to get an MRI. And the guy gives me these glasses, these weird glasses. And what is this for? He goes, some people get freaked out. I'm like, freaked out with what? Because they get claustrophobic. I said, not me, buddy. Wrong guy. So I put the glasses on because he told me to, and there's a mirror that went that way, that looked that way. I'm like, this is weird. So I lay down, and he slides me in this machine, and I'm looking in this mirror, and now I'm looking away from the mirror, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm looking away from there, and all of a sudden I realize, I'm in a really tight tube. And if all of a sudden this thing fills up with water, I'm dead. Now, the fact that it was only covering half my body didn't matter. I was like, take me out of this thing. He was like, what? Take me out! So he pulled me out. What's the matter? I'm like, I don't know, but you just did something to me. It was you, because it's never happened to me before. So he was like, well, you know what a lot of people do is they go get a drink and then they come back, because if you drink, if you get a shot of booze or a drink of beer, that'll take away your fear. And I said, huh? He goes, well, a lot of people take a Valium or a Xanax before this. And I said, I can't do that. I'm going to be dependent on some pill or something. And now where else is this going to come upon me? And now is that how people? And so what happens is I start to pray. Like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes before I get in there. He gives me his headphones. I put the Christian, because you got a Christian music station, 88.1. I hate that station. Please, not that station. Okay. Slides in, and now my shoulders are like this. I'm like, oh, this sucks. Bam, 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 beep, beep, bam. Anybody had an MRI? So like 20 minutes, I'm just, every once in a while, my eyes start to open, and I'm like, oh! So, thing ends. Hey, you did good, man. Most people can't bite the bullet and do that. I walked away, I was like, no problem. So over the course of the next year or so, every once in a while I have these crazy dreams that I'm stuck in my body. My mind works perfectly, but my arms and legs don't. My mouth don't. I'm trapped in this horrible place of fear, screaming that I can't get out, and yet, anybody know what I'm talking about or not? I just, it's like I feel like I'm trapped in a Metallica video. But I don't got to get an MRI, my neck eventually heals. And there I am, my son is now wrestling in Oklahoma. I tell Austin, bro, we're going to Oklahoma. For what? To see Bubba wrestle, all right. He's like, we can't get on the same plane. You take one flight, we'll meet here, we'll do this. So I jump on a plane in Fort Lauderdale. I fly to Houston. Where'd you fly to? Atlanta, right? So I'm in Houston and I'm eating, and man, I'm up at the mobile. I'm jumping planes, man. My life is good. Going to see my boy wrestle. I'm in Houston. And they go, oh, the plane you got to get's out there. No, you walk down. No, not in Houston. So you go outside, and then you walk up a ladder. And then walk up this ladder, and then you have to duck down now to get in the plane. So I duck down to get in this plane, and there's like 35 or 40 people on this plane. It's a little tiny plane. And the guy that's sitting there is freaking huge. I mean, like, his own zip code huge. And he's smashed into this seat like this. And there's one person on this side and then two people on this side, and the plane is packed. So I get on a plane and I start walking on a plane. I take about four steps and it goes, get off this plane. It's going down. And I went, excuse me. I walked out of the plane. I said, I'm going to rent a car. Rent a car. That's a good thing about, you know, about being a responsible adult. After a few years, you don't have to worry about that. Because when I was a kid, you know, I didn't have no money. So if I was stuck somewhere, and I have to hitchhike. And hitchhiking sucks because you don't know who's going to pick you up and you get stuck in it. But now I got money. I got a credit card. So you know, I pay up later. I don't have to worry about it because that's just going to stay here. Houston's not a bad place anyway. I can live here forever. And the lady says, are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, I think I left something somewhere. And she's like, well, what is it? I said, my brain. And she was like, well, what's the matter? And I said, well, you know what the funny thing is? I had an MRI about 2 years ago. And since then, she says, did you get claustrophobic? I'm like, yeah, I'm getting claustrophobic. What are you saying? You're claustrophobic. I got claustrophobic, all right. And she said, well, there's another plane leaving. It's much bigger. Maybe you'll feel more comfortable in that. And when is that? 2 hours. I'm like, oh, Austin's going to be there. He's going to meet me there in an hour. Can I just try this one more time? She's like, sure. So I walk on this plane, and of course, my seat is the last seat in the back, right? Because that's the way it works. So I'm looking at the ticket, 25, 14, 15, and everything in me is screaming. I'm telling you, the walls of my life are closing in on me. The only thing that's left is to leave a message on my wife's machine. I love you, goodbye. I sit down in this chair, and I'm like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna listen to some worship music. So I put these things in my ear and I put worship music on my phone and it's blaring loud, and all of a sudden now it feels even worse because there's this music now on top of this claustrophobia. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, no! I click my seatbelt. I unclick my seatbelt. I was like, will this plane ever take off? And now, of course, now the people on the plane are checking. They keep sticking their head in the door. Are you okay? I'm fine! I'm telling you, when I tell you that's how everything was, I'm not being overdramatic. I am freaking out inside. Freaking out. And they close the door, and then they open the plane door. And it's 45 minutes. We were on time. Why? And then, of course, here's what happened. They open the door, and this guy, this little pilot, he walks in, hey, guys, how you doing? And there's this, like, little fold-out bench, right between, because I'm the last seat, and there's somebody here, and I'm here, and he's going to, sorry, guys, it's going to be a tight flight I had. And he sits at the bench, and he's like, boom, he sits next to me. I'm like, ah, that's just what I needed. It's just, this is how I roll. That's it. And I get to Oklahoma, and about five times during the flight, I'm like, man, what was the matter with me? What was that? That was this weirdness that happened. What was that? Because when it's there, it's real. When it's not there, it seems like big deal. What's the matter? Come out of it. What was I thinking? Psh, glad that's over with. Hope that never happens again. But for the next 3 days that I'm watching my son wrestle in Oklahoma, it keeps happening. I go into the building and there's an overhang, and there it is now, this crazy panic. This thing's gonna fall on top of me. I don't know what this, and then it goes away. And I'm like, that was weird. I hope that never happens again. And then he's wrestling, and the teams are like being announced, so they turn the lights down. It's all black in the place now. And then they start flashing lights. Ah, the next team to come up, and I'm just like, going to bed at night, and the lights in the hotel. You know, it's a weird thing about a hotel room. When you turn the lights off, the lights are off. And now it's not just the claustrophobia. Now it's the dark. Now I'm afraid of the dark too, because it's dark. Can we turn the bathroom light on, please? I have no fears. I'm not a fearful person. I've never been a... How did my life come to this? And I start looking up stuff on the internet. It's like, I'm having panic attacks. You know, some people come out of them. Some people don't come out of them. What do you do? I even call up Matt. I call Matt. Matt, bro, pray for me, please, man. I'm flipping out here. After like 3 or 4 days, I call my wife and I'm like, I have never had anything like this, because it's not just the panic attack and the feeling, it's what happens in my brain during this panic attack and feeling, where now it's like, I'm talking like this weird voice is like, you'd be better off dead than living like this. I can't live like this. I can't run a business like this. I can't preach God's word living with this fear. I get home, and the first thing I do is I run into my wife's arms, and I just cry, and I'm sorry, our lives are over. Because if this is how it is, I'm done. I'm fried. There is no way. Because it's not just, okay, I'm okay now. It's like, when I'm in this thing here, the thoughts that are raging through me are insanity. I mean, literally... My son's going to die on the mat because I'm watching him wrestle. My wife is going to cheat on me because I had a... You know, everything that is so magnified now. And then I read something that this is how most women live their lives all the time. This is the emotional impact that most things are in a woman's life. And now all of a sudden I've got this newfound pity. And not just, suck it up, cut it out. Now it's like, you know what? If this is how some people have to live their lives, it's no wonder why some of them are on medication. If this is how some people have to live their lives, it's no wonder they can't control themselves. But a crazy thing happened to me, guys. Now I'm home, and... The first day we get home, me and my wife, we go for a run together, because I got to break a sweat. If you've ever been to Oklahoma, if you ever want to go to Oklahoma, just turn your oven on like 450. After about a half hour, open it and stick your face in there. That's like walking around Oklahoma. That's all Oklahoma was, this dry, horrible heat. Me and Austin, we nicknamed it Sucklahoma. So when we go for a run, and there's a last quarter mile that I just sprint. I gotta burn up this sweat. I gotta really, so I sprint this last, and as I'm getting to the, You know, anybody ever run where your body's like, I need oxygen now, and you're stuck somewhere between receiving oxygen and not receiving oxygen, you know, and you're like, want to tap, okay, God, I need oxygen now. And that starts happening, this feeling starts happening again. It's like, now I'm going to get it when I'm training. So the next morning I wake up and I think I'm awake. I'm not sure if I'm awake, and I start to praise God, and I start to call out to God. I start to beg him to help me through this. Otherwise I'm done. And in this weird sleep/dream state, I look over and there's a bench. My wife had this bench next to our bed that we put the pillows that are on the bed. Why there's pillows on your bed that you don't use, and like a sheet thing that you fold over but you don't use it for anything. It's just for, I don't know, but that's where the stuff that we don't use, because it's just decoration, right? It costs a lot of money. Why is the things that you use don't cost as much as the things that you don't use? However, I look over there, and there is like, does anybody know what the Silver Surfer is? There's this white, clear, opaque being sitting on this bench. And I look at it, and it gets up, and it walks out of my house. And I have not had a panic attack since then. That's a year and a half. Listen, I praise God for that, but that's not, that showed me what I need to tell you. The Spirit of God is power and love and freedom. It's not fear. And you all that are racked in this fear, you all that are twisted up in this, whether it be claustrophobia, whether it be financial fear of not being, whatever it is, it's high time you set yourself free. The power of God is upon you to set yourself free. The power of God is available for you to stop pretending something that you're not. Especially you men, you think that you're supposed to have it all under control because you got it all under control. And then you find out the craziest thing. Watch this. You men that are here that know what I'm talking about, because you have suffered through the exact same thing, would you please comfort your brothers and sisters by just standing up? Okay, guys, thank you. You can sit down now. You wouldn't expect that. You wouldn't expect that I'm sitting here, and some of you guys, while I'm describing this, you're like, stop now, because you're kind of bringing me to a place here. But I'm telling you, we live our lives. And what happens, and it's usually, I've been reading a lot of books, not just Christian literature, but the actual physiological aspect of it. There's a physiological aspect to this as well as a emotional and spiritual. And the physiological aspect of this is usually it's strong men who spend their lives in control of everything, realize at some point in time in their 30s or 40s that they don't control nothing. And it flips them out. You're not in control. You're not in control of nothing. You just thought you were because you had your hand on it. And it's high time that you know the truth, that this is a spirit. And this is the exact same spirit they tried to throw at John the Baptist. Oh, you're going to lose it all. Your whole mission in life is about to end. They're all going to him. Continuing, watch. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. You have to first ask yourself this question. When fear strikes you, are you the bride? For women, this is an easy question to answer. Of course you're the bride. Easy to be a bride and relate to being a bride when you're a woman. Brothers, you're Christ's wife. Embrace it now. reach into your feminine side. No, you don't have a feminine side. It's been removed. Embrace that. I'm not in control. He's in control. And it is His sovereign will that will be done in my life. And if I should live, I should live. And if I should die, I should die. But I will not succumb to fear anymore. I will not live in fear. Because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And perfect love casts out all fear. The fear of man brings a snare. But he who trusts in the Lord shall be safe. I will not. I will not. And let me tell you one thing. How John the Baptist first fought it? By not even entertaining it. Because what happens is when you are stricken in fear, when you are stricken in some emotional impact that cracks a part of your spirit open, I'm going to describe it for you in words that I cannot explain it to you in follow me, I don't even know. Something happens in your life, you fear, and it, this happens. You know what I'm talking about? I got startled. And you feel that shutter. Do you know what I'm talking about? That weird shutter. Oh, I hate when that happens. You know when your kids creeps up behind you when they're about 8 or 9 years old and they think it's the funniest thing in the world? Mom! You know what I'm talking about, guys? Yes, no, maybe so? And you get that little, oh, that's weird. What was that? Was that just my tingling? No. That was a little crack in your armor. A little space for a spirit to creep into your very soul. And he dwells there. Oh, no, I heard that you can't be possessed if you're a Christian. So what you're saying is it's not right because the Bible says that there's no light where there's darkness. Listen, I don't know how to explain it to you in other ways. I do not believe that a Christian can be possessed because of the things the Bible says. I absolutely believe that. But I do know this, that there is oppression, there is manifestation, there is certainly hyper-pushing, where this thing just keeps pushing at you, pushing. Even if it can't come inside you, it certainly can mess with you. Why? Because it happened to me. I'm telling you, I saw this crazy thing sitting there, get up and walk away. And I was like, what is that? Get out of here! No, I wasn't. Because I was in like this weird sleep state. It was weird. And it got up and left. And when I finally woke up fully, I was like, man, I hope that's gone and not coming back because I didn't like that. And it is. And now, could I tell you that I'm completely set free from all my fears? No, but let me tell you what. I climb up the top of a ladder now, 14, 15 foot. It's no big. I'm holding on. I'm not going to be stupid. I will let my intelligence dictate that I'm not going to use one of my feet that looks like the. I'm not going to be Austin and Drew because they're much skinnier than me. I splat, they bounce. However, when that feeling hits me, I got an MRI done on my neck just a couple weeks ago. They've set me in a machine, and it slid back into this little, no problem. No, God is good. God is faithful. God is good. God is sovereign. God's on my side, and this is where I'm at. God is good. God is sovereign. God's on my side. That's where I'm at. And all of a sudden, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, I'm good. No problem. Hurt like a bear because the position had me in, but that's it. I'm not. This is how we do now. John the Baptist said, are you the bride? I'm the bride. I'm the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, my husband's watching out for me. And he did not give me a spirit of fear. Are you the bride? The bridegroom, ready? Again? He who has the bride is the bridegroom. Who has the bride? Who has the bride? The bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Christ. Who has you, bride? If you are not the bride, you got problems.
But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Now, let me explain to what he's saying there. And this is, okay, let's just go to Bible geek stuff for a little bit. Here's Bible geek stuff. John the Baptist was not a bride. John the Baptist died before Jesus Christ was glorified. John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament saints. He is the best man. The bridegroom's friend is called the best man back in biblical times. What we call the best man is what he was. He was saying, I'm not the bride. He knew his position. I'm the bridegroom's friend. So the application for the Bible study message is not here, but the biblical interesting part here is, remember, the Lord Jesus said it himself. He said that amongst those born of women, none has ever been greater than John the Baptist, but he is the least in the kingdom. He is the least because he was an Old Testament saint. He was the last of them. You follow? Listen, you can study the implications of that later. That's not what we're looking at today. I just wanted to drop that little bit on you. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Ready? Verse 30. He must increase that I must decrease. In order to overcome fears in your life, guys, you must get serious about your relationship with the Lord. The more you focus on Christ, the less you will focus on yourself. The more you focus on Christ, the less you will focus on yourself. The more you do for Christ, the less you will be able to do for yourself, and the more he will be able to do for you. He must increase. Who are you? Christian here, whether you're young in the Lord or older in the Lord, who do people say that God is to you? This will dictate how much he is increasing or decreasing in your life. We had this guy in, me and my wife were just dating at the time. We weren't really, my wife was a backslidden Christian and I was not a Christian at all, Catholic I consider myself to be, but I never even went to Catholic church, so that didn't make any sense either. We had this guy that used to come around and share the love of Christ with us. His name was Bob. You know how you know who we known as? Christian Bob. That's Christian Bob. Oh, that's Christian Bob. That's a religious guy, Christian Bob. What a testimony. Looking back now, right? Remember my Christian Bob? Christian Bob. That's Christian Bob. Are you Christian Kirk? Oh, that's that real religious dude. That should tell you. Who do your friends that don't know the Lord see you as? Are you one of them? Are you of them or just with them? Are you with them or are you of them? That's a question you got to ask yourself. If you want to overcome this fear, as John the Baptist prescribed it, if you're sick and tired of being afraid, your whole life, everything that happens is drama, drama, drama. And you got to take your Xanax. You got to drink your shot. You got to hit a pill just to get through this next flight. This next, just got to take the edge off. Glass of wine. Everybody has a glass of wine with dinner. There's nothing wrong with a glass of wine. I can have a glass of wine at dinner. I absolutely can. Nobody's saying you can't eat your Xanax. That's your business. You have to decide where that's going to end. Because you might need one glass of wine tonight. You might need two the next night. And then who you think's controlling you? I don't know what happened. I just got a little freaked out, so I took a drink, and then I wound up doing something terrible. He must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31, but he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He's telling them, don't bring me your earthly sensual nonsense. I'm not going to be moved because the very reason I came was to bring him glory. Don't you understand what's happening to all these pastors around the country, around the globe? They start with this amazing message of Christ, and then they become this amazing message of earth. Guys, why do you... Guys, why do you think I have a job? I don't need a job. I could take a salary from the church. I don't want to. I don't want nobody telling me how great I am. I don't want nobody telling me
I don't want to be absorbed in this life. And I expect and I beg you to do the same in your life. Look at these rock stars. Has anybody seen Jim Carrey lately? Like, when did he check out? This guy is off his rocker. He's become some existentialist who babbles about things that don't have to mean anything, all because he's got millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. How does this happen to a human being? Because when anybody is given everything they want or everything they desire, when there is nothing they hold themselves back from, they become so grandiose. They think they know everything about politics. They think they know everything about everything. Let me tell you how to live your life. Wait a second, dude. Aren't you divorced 3 times and 2 of your kids on drugs and in and out of programs? Yes. Why would I listen to you? Because I have lots of money. And lots of people tell me how great. Lots of people love. Do you know I made that movie Dumb and Dumber? Did you ever see that scene where... And they give him a platform. Yeah, let's have this guy up there and tell us how great he is. I am blown away how insane these people are. And what even astonishes me more is the people that follow them. Oprah Winfrey believes that every time somebody dies, an angel follows them around. And you ask her, where did you get this from? I just think it. Shirley MacLaine believes if she would just make these and hum, and go, that you can, where do you come up with this stuff from? And how do millions of people follow you? And why? He who comes from above is above all. That's God. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Thank you. He who comes from heaven is above all. The word of God, guys, is above all. And everything that you need is in the word. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. Verse 33. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Number 4 in these lessons about overcoming your fear is to believe in God is to be set free. But to believe in God is to believe and to certify that God is true. The Bible says that he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Do you understand? Hollywood would have you to believe, if you watch The Exorcist, The Omen, and all those incredibly ungodly movies, these satanic movies growing up, that here's God. You ready? Here's God's arm. And then the devil comes. And there's this battle. He's going to win. Oh, no. But in the end, you understand how ridiculous that is? This is Hollyweird. This is what you've been taught. This is what we believed. God's in control of everything. Read the first chapter of the book of Job. God says to him, do this, don't do that. And he goes, yes, sir. Chapter 2, do this and don't do that. Yes, sir. The devil. God made the devil. He can get rid of him anytime he wants, in your life especially. You cannot think to yourself any other truth but the truth that is contained in the Bible. And the truth that is contained in the Bible is God has your every step ordained. Well, if God has my every step ordained, why such terrible things happen to me? Because that's the way God's ordaining your steps right now. I don't want that to happen. You don't get that choice. Just know that God is good, God is sovereign, and God's on your side. And he's got your family. He's got your finances. He's got your friends. He's got everything. And in the end, it's going to work out good. Because all things are working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That's you if you're the bride. If you're the bride.
Read that again. That's so sweet. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Fifth and finally, does anybody know what that means? God does not give the Spirit by measure. That means when he says, God says, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given. And here's how it will be given. Pressed down, overflowing, shaken up, pressed down again, overflowing. That he does not withhold his Spirit from those who ask. You have fear, ask the Spirit to flood you, to overflow you. I'm not talking about in the shower, or in the car on the way to work. I'm talking about giving God your closet. Here's my closet, okay? Here's a closet. Here's my closet. Sorry, guys, gotta go. Here's my closet. See ya. I'm in the closet. Hi, God. Fill me! I need you so bad! I don't know what to tell these people. I don't know your word. I don't know what I'm doing. My wife's crazy. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Sorry, I just... Thank you. I'm okay now. By measure. No. He just pours it and pours it and pours it and pours it. You know, the Holy Spirit can't overcome you. I mean, you think about this for a second. What twisted logic has befallen the hearts of human men and women? Yes, God made you, and you are now taken. Whatever it is in your life, everybody is susceptible. There's nobody that the enemy can't reach. There's nobody that God can't rescue. Nobody. Nobody. Because all that money, it can't save you from what's going on up inside of here. Prince is dead. Most talented human beings ever to walk the face of the planet. This guy, let me tell you what. Before it was popular, when I was in my teens, I was listening to, dude, you got to hear this guy play guitar. Oh man, this little black dude from Minnesota. You got to hear this guy play guitar. And I turned all my friends on to his music. Look at this dude. Man, he's like Jimi Hendrix. He's dead. You know why? Because he couldn't escape here. The one thing, I don't care who you are, what you do, you're going to sit there and tell me now, God made you, he made everything, but he can't rescue you from your mind? This panic, ladies, that you fear, this worry, that, oh, if you lose this man, you're gonna be alone, nobody's ever going to love you. That's a lie. That's a lie. Well, if I don't sleep with him, he's going to leave me. Let him leave you. It's a lie. Well, if I don't, stop. God's got this. He'll bring you the man that he wants for you. Relax. No, he can't. Yes, he can. I can't. Those two words shouldn't exist in a Christian's vocabulary. I can't. I can't. No, you can. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. If you ask him for that strength. He does not give the Spirit by measure. And here's where we close. The Father loves the Son and has given all things to his hand. Thank God for that. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. Guys, you may close your Bible now. Last thought. When the enemy of God came to you and whispered some nasty stuff in your ear about something that you know is at the very forefront of your fear, the way you deal with it is the exact way John the Baptist dealt with it. Read it over again. If you need those notes, I'll give them to you. There's five things in there.
that should let you know how to deal with this fear. It's over today. I'm giving you the key. Here it is. Take it. Live in fear no more. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. You're not stuck where you are. God will give you a way out. He promises that. And his word is greater than any word on this planet. His spirit is mightier than any spirit on this planet. You, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, lives in you, bride. Don't tell me you're succumbed to fear. Not anymore. There is no reason. Separate the emotional fear from the spirit of fear. And let's not even call the emotional fear. Let's call it caution. Yeah, I'm going to be cautious. What do you mean you're going to be cautious? Well, probably not going to run heavy machinery until I learn how. I'm afraid to run that thing. Don't be afraid. Just be cautious. Learn first. You know, because some people take these things weird. Fear, don't use that. Don't even use that word anymore. Wipe it from your vocabulary. It doesn't exist. You are not fearful. You are not afraid anymore. There is no fear in you. No man controls you, woman. The leadership guys, I want you guys after the service to come up here. If you want to pray over to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, to ask God to remove these things from you, our guys are going to be up here and you're welcome to join us for that prayer. However, and I mean this sincerely, the answer is not me praying over you or Matt praying over you. The answer is not in having anybody pray over you. The answer is in you getting alone with God and crying out to be filled with the Holy Spirit to remove these fears. Your body, there's no promises on your body, guys. It's going to get broken. It's going to fall apart. That's the promise of God, too. Though the outward be perishing, the inward is being renewed day by day. You might not get the healing physically that you need. But emotionally, there is no scripture that I will stand on stronger. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Sound mind. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the testimony of John the Baptist. When they came to him and tried to freak him out with some earthly nonsense, he knew that who the Son sets free is free indeed. He knew that it was time for him to decrease and you increase. He knew. Bless us, please, Lord Jesus. I pray in the hearts of those that are here that need your spirit, that they would find their closet and cry out to you, because your word promises that you don't give the spirit by measure. You don't give a couple of teaspoons. You pour him out in giant heaping portions. God, please let your spirit fall upon those. Let those here that are racked in fear, that are on medication because of it and all that stuff, let today, may you kindle hope in their heart. Kindle it, God. May it be a fire. Those that far too down this road had to revisit the places in their mind because of the things that I said today. Today, let it only be a place of hope. May there be a fire on that road now. May they pick up that fire and light their heart. Speak your word over your people, God. Sing over your bride, as your word says. We are your bride. We are the bride of Christ. We love you, God. We commit these things to you, begging you for freedom, God. We beg you. We beseech you. We're never going to stop asking you. Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. We stand on the promise that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, set the tortured soul here today free, for there is freedom in you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen.